For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, what? Since God sees, since His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, what does that mean we need to do? Do we still yet need to pray, though? I mean, we realize God sees, and we realize that God never leaves nor forsakes us, but do we not still need to pray to Him about things? We sure do. And one of the great blessings, God knows what's going on. You know, I'll come run to Him and say, "Oh, God, here's what's going on." He already knows what's going on. But He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to come to Him. And that's a great privilege of being born again. I don't know what lost people do. Where do they go? Where do they go? Man, we can go to the King. We can go right to the throne. I mean, He bids us to His throne. I told you this, and I'm going to tell it to you again because I like it. Man, I like that old, back in 1960, it's when President Kennedy was president, and they show the Oval Office, and I thought, man, that's considered the most powerful place in America, the Oval Office. And there underneath his desk was John. It shows his head underneath there looking out, and he's get out from underneath there, and you think, here's one of the most powerful man in the world, probably. But there's a little kid playing up underneath his desk. Who was that? That's the president's son. And he had that privilege of coming in. In one of the most powerful places he was. To come in. He bidded him in. And he had a right to be there. He run him out from underneath that desk. And I thought that was wonderful. I like to picture that with me. Man, I get cares and troubles, and I know God sees. I know God sees. Do you know God sees? Well, you still got to do something else. We know God sees, but we need to go to His throne. We need to go to Dad's throne. We need to go to His Oval Office, so to speak. And He bids us come. That's what He says right here, isn't it? He tells you to come boldly to His... He didn't say to be ashamed to go to His throne. He said, you come boldly. You know why you can come boldly? You're His child is why you can come boldly. John wasn't afraid being under... Because that fellow, that powerful man there was his dad. You can come boldly to His throne because that's your father, that's your dad. Man, there ain't nobody in this world loves you like He does. Nobody loves you like Him. He loved you so much that He provided His Son to pay the debt that you owed to save you from an eternity in hell. Never doubt His love for you. Come on. He sees, but He still wants you to come boldly to His throne. That's just said all that to get to that point. He sees, but He still wants you to come boldly to His throne. And then what you do is like we just talked about here. We preached on cares not too long ago, just a couple weeks ago. You come and you unload those there. You unload those things upon Him. So we know He sees. And He wants us to come to Him. And like I've told you before, you will feel that. When you get burdens and you get cares of this life, you will feel those. That's why they're called burdens. Does anybody know what a burden is? It's a weight. You feel a weight. And He wants you to cast that cares upon Him. So it's a comfort knowing that God sees. Especially when you have, He knows if you're in a storm, He's just right on the mountain seeing you, and He's coming right down around you. He's there, is what I'm trying to say. He sees and knows all the way you've trod. He sees you. Now, let's turn to the book of Luke 21. I give you this in Bible school. And I want to give this to you again. So it's a comfort knowing that you're not alone. It's a comfort knowing that he sees. But it's also a comfort that he knows what you do. He knows what you do. Now, if you're doing bad, it's not a comfort, is it? But if you're doing in the service for the Lord, it's a comfort to that he knows what you do. This church has a lot of people that do. There's really a lot of people that does. You see what I do. Well, no, you don't see all I do. But you see a lot of what I do. And a lot of times the pastor, you know, people notice things that he does. But there's a lot of people that does here that you really don't know what all they do. They do a lot of things. And they're faithful. And man, if we didn't have them, it would be rough. And sometimes they don't really get any time. I mean, they're not noticed by the congregation. But you know what? God knows what you do. And that's really all that matters, isn't it? That's really all that matters. And I mentioned this in Bible school, but I want to mention it to you again because I thought it was pretty cool. In Luke 21, it talks about, here's a widow woman. And notice what it says in verse 1. He looked up, and Jesus is over watching the treasury. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one because we just got through with it in Bible school. But I just liked it so much, I thought I'd say it again. He saw the rich men casting into the treasury. And then he saw also a certain poor widow which cast in two mites. Two mites is about a fifth of a cent. Not a whole lot of money. And he said, of a truth, I say to you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. These rich men were coming in and they was putting an abundance of money in there. And you can imagine how, man, looky there. Look how much they're giving. But it was just a small portion of the riches that they had. This poor widow woman just had two mites. That's all she had. Being a widow, she had no way of providing for herself. If she didn't have any children to take care of her, most generally your widow's bagged. She walks in, and she throws it all in. Well, she does. Would you have done that? I'd have been afraid to do that, wouldn't you? I might need something to eat after a while. That's how much she trusted the Lord. And she never blew a trumpet to draw attention to what she's doing. The only one there that knew what she did was who? Somebody tell me. The Lord saw it. God knew. Jesus knew. And like I said in Bible school, 2,000 years later in Bancroft, we're still talking about that woman. Jesus knows what you do. You know, it's quiet in here. If y'all noticed it, y'all can listen real good because there ain't a whole lot of noise in here. You know why that is? We got babies and little ones here, don't we? We got ladies that give their time to take care of them next door. Now, you really appreciate it if you go somewhere and all of them's in the congregation and they're going wild. You really do appreciate that. You're sitting there trying to preach and everybody's looking and they're seeing what's going on. But we got ladies that does that. They do the dirty work, literally. You know, and literally, you know what I'm saying? They do that. We don't talk a lot about them. But one of the reasons why this church is quiet on the inside where you can hear is because of them women. They work and labor. There's a lot of things that these ladies of this church does behind the scenes that, man, you don't have any idea what they do. But they do. They do. But you know who sees what they do? God does. And that's why they do it. They don't have to have pats on the back. They should. We should recognize what they do more to encourage them. But I'll just be honest with you, the ones I know just really don't care. They're doing it for who? They're doing it for the Lord. So, see, this is a comforting when you think of the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, that's a comfort to know that He sees you. He sees your hurts. He sees your sorrows. He sees your sadnesses. But He also sees what you do for Him. He also sees what you do for Him. It doesn't go unnoticed. God sees. All God's people see it. Not done. I got a second point. I was getting excited, wasn't you? Let's move on to our second point. You see how God sees is a comfort. Everybody see that? He's the God that sees. It's a comforting thing. Let's go back to our text in Proverbs chapter 15. Let's read our text again. This is a blessed, blessed text. And if you can get this down in your heart, it'll help you clean your life up too. It'll help you clean your life up too. You're not sitting in that house and the Lord not see you. Everywhere you go, the Lord sees you. And if the Lord was walking around with you in a physical body, if Jesus was walking beside you in a physical body, it would change what you did. It'd change how you talk. It'd change how you act, wouldn't it? You talk about it in a physical body if He was there. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight, He's just as much there. So when we remember that, man, He's the God that sees, it makes a great deal of difference in you. The eyes of the Lord are in every what? Every place. Every place. He's in your workplace. He's in your house. He sees you. He knows how you are. He knows what you do. He also knows what you don't do. Knows it all. So see, this is a comfort, but now it's also, here's our second part, it's also a warning. It's not only a comfort. Isn't it comforting knowing He sees when you're hurting? Isn't it comforting to know that He sees you when you're going through a hard time? But it's also not only a comfort, but it's a warning. He also sees your motives. He sees why you do what you do. He sees your thoughts. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 now. He jumped all over the Pharisees over this. I talked about motives already a little bit. But it's more than just doing. It's doing it out of the right reason. Your motives need to be proper and your motives needs to be right. The religious leaders in Jesus' day were the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. And in Matthew 6, he's describing the Pharisees. They were religious men. And the things that they did to be seen. They blew a trumpet it says they blew a trumpet when they give alms to help somebody, seeking to draw attention to what they did. Notice what it says in Matthew 6, take heed that ye do not your alms, that's giving, before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets. Now watch this, that they may have glory of men. That's what they're after. That they may have glory of men. You're not after the glory of men. What are you after? The glory of God. We want this church to be all about the glory of God. That's why you teach the whole counsel of God, to bring glory to our Savior, to bring glory to our God. What they did it to be seen. Verse 3 said, but when you do your alms, let your left hand not know what the right hand does, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father, oh, here we have it again, your Father sees where at? Your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. So He sees your motives. There'll be a day we stand before the Lord and we'll be judged for our rewards. Of course, our sins have been paid for when you're born again, but you still got to give a reckoning to Him for your life of service. And it's more than what you've done. It's why you've done what you've done. We want to serve the Lord all the days of our life. After all, one of the most common names for God's people in God's Word is they're called servants. Servants. Pure tonight and saved, you're God's servant. Whose servant? God's servant. What's a servant do? It's as deep. They serve. They serve. All of us does. I'm a servant. I'm going to call you Terry, but Stewie's a servant now, trusted Christ. You're servants. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're a servant. Now, what's a servant do? You serve. You serve Him all the day. You serve Him until He calls you out of here. That's your reason for living. Philippians 1, verse 21, Paul said, "For me to live is football. For me to live is my job. For me to live is money. For me to live is Christ." Christ, your reason for living? There's always a reason to live. Man, I tell you what, folks, it's important to realize you're a servant after you're born again. And then you serve Him by worshiping Him, and you serve Him in different ways. But every one of us here tonight that's saved, we're all servants. And we're to seek souls, and we're to serve Him all of our days. And you'll find that's where you get your most joy. So He sees your motives. He also sees your actions. He sees what you do. We just now talked about service. He sees your service. Jeremiah verse 16 and verse 17 says, "My eyes are upon all their ways." Mine eyes are upon all their ways. So He sees your actions. Now that we're talking about seeing your actions, let me give a little bit more to that. He sees your actions in public. Does He see your public actions? Yeah. But He also sees your actions in secret. See, when He says His eyes are in every place, we didn't look at the comforting part of that, but it's also a warning. It's also a warning. He sees you, not only your public actions, but He also sees you in secret. Psalms 101 and verse 3 says, "I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes." And He talks in Psalms 101 about, "I'll walk in within my house in a certain way." I say this all the time. What you are in the house, what you are when it's just you and nobody else, is what you are. What you are in public should be what you are in secret. Y'all agree? What you are in public should be what you are in secret. Because if you're something different in secret than you are in public, then what are you? What? Y'all said it. Hypocrite. That's exactly what it is. We don't want to be that. A hypocrite's an actor. All kinds of them. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not responsible for the hypocrite. They're always going to be, "Oh, ain't going to church, there's so many hypocrites." Those hypocrites will answer for themselves. But so will you. So will you. You'll answer for the hypocrite down the road. You answer for you. I ain't responsible for the hypocrite. I'm just responsible for trying not to be a hypocrite. You'll find you watch after yourself. It's a full-time job. Okay? So, He sees your motives. So, when you do something for the Lord, you do it because you love Him. You don't do it for a show or a put-on. You should come to church because you love Jesus. You should give because you love Jesus. You should witness because you love Jesus. And you want to serve Him. And you want to please Him. That's your motive. not to be seen, not to be bragged on, not to be patted on the back, not for filthy lucre. You do it because you love Him. He sees your actions in public. He sees your actions in secret. Hear me. You want that to be consistent. And you'll be a wholehearted servant of Jesus if you're that way. We want a church full of people like that. We want a church full of people like that. Last of all, He sees your worship. Worship's a big thing with the Lord. Two kinds of worship that you need to have. You need to have private worship. You need to have private worship every day, where you spend time in prayer and where you spend time in God's Word. If it's just to read a chapter and get you a notebook, write things down, work your way, you need private worship. The Bible likens private worship to eating. The Bible says the desire is a sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. When you're first saved, you're a, not being disrespectful, but it's true of everybody. When you're first saved, you're a babe in Christ. And then you're expected to grow into spiritual maturity. How do you do that? Well, you got to take in the milk first. You got little babies, and then you... It just seemed like not long ago I was putting the bottle in little Isaac's mouth. You know. Now he eats. Can't leave anything on the desk, he'll try to eat it. So I never seen a little fellow like that. He eats, and they'll say, Isaac, don't... Pew! Grabs it and runs through the house with it. Little heathen. Likes to eat. But wasn't long ago he was on the bottle. Now he eats whatever laying there. You can't lay certain things down. He'll eat it too. But he's growing. Not like he was before. He's a little old baby. Now he's growing. Getting stronger. What's he doing? He's eating. He was on milk, but he ain't on milk now. He's on table food now. And he's getting bigger. And he's getting stronger. That's how you are spiritually. You're on the milk, but what's bad is when someone's been on milk for 20 years, that ain't normal. You need to progress off the milk onto the meat. And that comes from private worship and public worship. The Lord's church is called the pillar and the ground of the truth. You should be able to find God's word at God's house. As you come to God's house, you'll watch yourself. You'll get stronger. Y'all notice it? You get stronger. You'll get encouragement. You'll have brothers and sisters that will die for you here because they love you. It's a band of folks that loves you. You need public worship also. He sees your worship. He sees your worship. Where does God look at again? He looks on your heart. I'm so aware of that. I get distracted real easy. Do you? I got to constantly get my train of thought where it needs to be, especially if I'm listening or if I'm studying. My mind wanders. Does yours? I haven't got the only wandering mind in here, do I? Well, our mind wanders. And we need to get our mind on worship. One of the things the Lord says in the book of Isaiah chapter 29 and the verse 13, it stresses worshiping the Lord from your heart. Look at Amos chapter 5, verse 21 through 23. You look this up when you go home. He told the children of Israel to take away the noise of their songs. There's just noise. They were singing. They were going to the temple. But they weren't worshiping from their heart. It was just a show up is what it was. I'll tell you something that won't make you mad. You know who usually gets the most out of a church service? The preacher. Oh, I think I'm the greatest preacher in the world. Buddy. I get all kinds of stuff out. No, I'm just kidding you. The preacher does. Do you know why that is? Somebody tell me. Studied. I've prepared. I've spent hours in preparation for every service. I've spent hours, sometimes 8-10 hours on preparation for one service. Get ready. Research things out. But I just don't prepare in by getting things ready. Prayer. Ask God to bless. Asking God to help my mind. Think about it. I'm getting ready to go sing. We sing in a con. God likes singing if you mean it. If you really mean it, God likes singing. So he doesn't want you to just sing words. He wants you to sing from your heart. We sing victory in Jesus, and you got that victory, man. That should roll out of your heart. But you know what that requires to worship from your heart? When we're talking about public worship, preparation. Preparation. If we just come in and flop ourselves down and we've not done any preparation, a lot of times we're not ready. We got to get ready to worship, Coy. I told this illustration, I'm going to close with this. About my old football coach, Coach Jennings. We'd be going to play a football game. And he wouldn't let us talk. He'd get up on the bus. You know, we'd be out there talking and screaming until we seen him come around the corner and we shut up. Because he'd, you know, he'd get on you. He'd come on that bus and he'd say, "Now, boys, shut your mouths." He didn't say it real kind either. "We're going to play a ball game, and I want y'all to shut up and think about what you're getting ready to do." Do y'all agree with him on that? Well, yeah, I'm with him now on that. I got to think about if I'm playing a big thing like a ball game. Polk is playing, you know how important it is for Polk to win. So we realize we got to think about what we're getting ready to do, our plays, and knowing everything we're supposed to do. Isn't that important? Well, yeah, so we can win. Is worship more important than that? Highest duty we have is to worship our God once we're born again. And that requires a little bit of preparation. Lord, I'm going to public worship today. I'm going to worship the Lord. Help me. Sometimes I'm tired. I say, "Lord, help me. I just feel like falling over." You know, help me be able to concentrate. Help me to sing your songs of praise from my heart. Help me to worship you from my heart. Help me to see something the pastor's saying to help it to be a blessing to me today. And you come through that back door ready to go. Ready to worship. And Lord bless you. And then you'll worship him how? From your heart. Well, folks, what was the message title tonight? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So we want to behold. That's a comfort. But what else is it? It's a warning. We want to be wholehearted in what we do for the Lord. All God's people said, let's all stand.